listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9, and I am here, Luann Linnegan, with James Wrench.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry.
Good afternoon.
We must have had a time change.
Should
we have the time change already?
Hi, Pastor Tom.
Hi, Luann. Caught me off guard.
Yeah, that's okay. So before we get started, we're going to be talking about the benefits of entering the kingdom of God. I just want to say a couple of things, some announcements. First of all, that you can reach me at 631-745-7980, or you can call the station 772-221-1100 if you have any requests for prayer, or if you want to just share about what you're receiving when you're hearing Kingdom Recovery. And and of course, we have Pastor Tom here, and we call this segment At the King's Table, which we will be discussing benefits of entering the kingdom of God. And also, I want to say that Pastor Tom does have two books out, What Now and Kingdom Now. If you would like them for free, you can contact me at that number, 631-745-7980. And if you didn't get that, you can always call the station, and they will let me know, and we will get you those books. Okay. There's another announcement. Hats and Heels for Healing. Hats and Heels for Healing. They're having a at the Healing Center in Martin County, right here by St. Mary's off of Ocean. They're having their second annual benefit for the Healing Center. And it's Friday, May 1st at 5 p.m. And it's the Pittenger Center, and that's right across from St. Mary's on alongside it. So if you have any questions for that, you can always contact me with that also, and I will get you that information. Okay, so with that, we're going to start our conversation, but I do want to read because the benefits of entering into the kingdom, the first one is that we become born again, a new creation in Christ, right? So I want to start by reading John 3:3. Through 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Mostly assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Mostly assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So once we get born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has benefits, promises, the king's decree, God's decree, his will and testament. And we're going to be discussing some of those benefits today. I mean, the whole Bible is full of them. But we're going to be talking the first one that I just mentioned about eternal life and what that looks like. You know, all things are new. We have eternal life. Only the flesh dies. We go on in our spirit and our soul, and only the body, and then we get a new body, right? So, Pastor Tom, would you like to start us off with some
wisdom and knowledge?
Wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, but don't forget verse 7 there. It's very important. It says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again.
That's so, right. That's
and this is, you know, one of the first scriptures I've ever read, or I was talked about being born again. People told me about being born again. But everybody who told me said, you get born again, and then the main thing after that was heaven. You're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. You're now ready for heaven. You're going to end up in heaven. Praise God, you're in heaven. But when Jesus had this put here, and when he spoke, and what Luann just read, basically, it doesn't even mention heaven then. Mm-hmm. It talks about you entering a kingdom. So I have found that most of the people that I run into who are, quote, born again, do not even know that they entered a kingdom. Yeah. All they know is that one day they're going to heaven. And if you don't know you entered the kingdom, chances are you're not taking advantage of the kingdom of God that you entered into, because Amen. You don't even know that you entered into the kingdom of God. So when you get born again, you enter into the kingdom of God, not when you die, you know, like heaven. We enter heaven when we die.
Right.
But the kingdom is right now. And when we put things off to heaven, basically, there's not really any direction for you in your life once you get born again, other than one day you're going to die and go to heaven. But when you discover that when you entered the kingdom of God, when you got born again, no matter when that was, now you are already in that kingdom. You're not waiting to go to heaven to get in that kingdom. You were born into that kingdom when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And basically everyone needs to do that. And then once you do that, you get born again spiritually. And a spiritual rebirth basically changes you completely on the inside. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a physical body, and you're basically changed immediately when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And the main thing Jesus put here was the same thing he preached, was that you then enter the kingdom of God. And if you look at Colossians chapter 1, it talks about you being born again. Mm-hmm. Colossians 1 verse 13, it says that Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through Amen. His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So this tells you in Colossians 1:13 that he delivered you out of a kingdom. Now, I never knew that I was in a kingdom before I entered another kingdom that I didn't know I was in. Mm-hmm. But basically, I was in the kingdom of darkness most of my life. But here it says Jesus came to deliver me out of that kingdom. And in a kingdom, basically, you're under a ruler, or you're under the authority of something else. And for many years of my life, for 30 years, I was under the rule of darkness, or the rule of that Satan is basically the head of, right. the kingdom of darkness. But he said he has translated me now into the kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, of his dear Son. And one of the main differences is the next verse, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins. I found out the difference between basically religion or even Christianity and the kingdom is, in the kingdom you're a haver. Mm-hmm. In other words, it doesn't say you're going to try to get redeemed. It doesn't say you're going to try to get forgiven. It says you have redemption and you have Amen. The forgiveness of sins. So entering the kingdom of God, there's so many things that come along with it that are benefits that we're not taking advantage of. There's people who basically are still nervous about the sin they committed even mm-hmm. before they got born again, mm-hmm. but they don't know that they have forgiveness of sins. Many are still living under the kingdom of darkness when there's really no reason to do that, because here it says he has delivered you
Amen.
From the kingdom of darkness, and now you have redemption. And that word redemption means that you have been redeemed from your slavery. Yeah. And your slavery was basically in the kingdom of darkness, but now you have been set free from the kingdom
Praise
of
the
darkness,
Lord.
And you can live in the redemption of the kingdom of God because of his blood.
Yeah. And so, and that's because the kingdom of darkness, the king of darkness, the ruler of darkness is trying to keep us ignorant of the kingdom of light, of the kingdom of heaven, because the less we know about it, the more we'll stay in our victimization, we'll stay in our worry and our fear, and we won't come out of that place in our soul. Our spirit is whole, has the ability to enter into the kingdom at any all the time in the presence of God. That's where righteousness comes in. He set us right to be in God's presence, right? So, and now it's the sanctification of our soul. It's that's where the renewing needs to happen for the transformations to start to happen in our behaviors, in our thinking, in our actions. You know, it does. Ignorance keeps us in the dark, and he's the ruler, and that's living according to the world is really, you know, darkness. He's the ruler of the air here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the darkness. So it's a battle between, am I going to behave as the natural man or the new man, the spiritual man that I am? Am I going to allow the leading and guiding of what spirit? The Holy Spirit or demonic spirits to lead and guide me into truths that I don't. Ignorance is believing lies. Doesn't mean, to me, they might be true, but that's why reading the Bible and being under people who are following Jesus and understand the kingdom of God, it's healthy to do that, because then you can come out of those places where I believed a lot of false truths. Mm-hmm. I really did. And then most of them came from traditions. Most of them came from my friends. You know, like, I wanted to be cool. I wanted to, you know, it'll make you feel good. Drugs, you know, all those messages. You know, money, commercials, the airwaves, basically. My influence is schools. You know, the Catholic Church. They told me if I sinned, I'd go to hell. I mean, I believe that. They were lies, but they were truth for me. And then I started reading the Word when I got born again. Mm-hmm. And I was led into not only just the door. I mean, not just the door. Jesus is the door, but beyond the door. And you share it so well, Pastor, when you preach about, you know, going to a store and just seeing what they're offering at the door. You want to go, you know, Jesus makes it very appetizing to go into the door, mm-hmm. into the store, because there's so much behind there. It's just, you know, they could say shoes, but if you're only looking at the sign that says shoes, you don't know how many beautiful shoes can be in there, mm-hmm. you know. So.
And basically the thing I learned most about anything is I actually have a choice. Mm. Nobody ever told me I had a choice. You know, all you say is, that's life. That's mm-hmm. the way life goes. I'm in bondage. That's the way life goes. God's in control. Don't worry. Everything's going to be good when I die and go to heaven. Wait for the by and by. Yeah. Everything's going to be wonderful when I get to the by and by. And I never knew that. But here it says I already have redemption. Mm-hmm. So if I have redemption, I want to live like I've been redeemed. I want to live like I've been freed. I want to live by entering a different kingdom and living in that kingdom. So basically, I had to start taking some authority in my own life and basically disallowing things in my life that I was accepting that I didn't know I had the power and the authority over those situations and over those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So if you're born again, you are free. You have been redeemed. You have Amen. Been. You don't have to pray for redemption. You don't have to hope for redemption. You don't have to have a redemption service to try to get free. Amen. Basically, you have been redeemed, Jesus said. Now take your redemption and start living in your redemption and start finding out that all these things that I had, and you say, what things are they? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Amen. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So what are you redeemed from? You're redeemed from the curse of the law. And we're all familiar with the curse because we've been living in it for quite a long time. We're very informational about sickness and disease and worry and fear and stress and strife and all those things. Well, you have been delivered, not going to be delivered. And this is where I get in trouble. Whenever I tell people what they can do in the future, whatever I tell them they're able to do, they take it. But when you tell them what they actually have, people start getting mad at you because you're telling them the truth of what actually belongs to them. Because for 50 years, they've been told, just pray a little harder, just get a little more faith and you'll have it. It's coming down the road and people want to argue with you. But I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it. Mm-hmm. And it says, you have been redeemed, set free from the curse and everything in the curse. And it also says, so the Spirit of God could come live on the inside of Amen. You again. So there's no sense, if you're born again, to pray, number one, to be redeemed. Mm-hmm. Number two, to ask for the Spirit to come live in you, because he's already in there. But we've promoted so much doubt and unbelief by not reading the Bible and believing what it says that people spend their whole life trying to get things that basically they've right. already got. And by do that, you're wasting your time. I heard somebody say one time, you are the way you are because you believe that's the way you are. Mm-hmm. And when they said that to me, I said, wow, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, yeah. everything I think I am negatively, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm living in. And I did not know that I had the ability through what Jesus did on the cross and now live in a different kingdom that basically is freedom. It's freedom. Amen. It's power. It's authority. And this belonged to me and took me from a victim mentality to a victor Amen. Mentality. Then I started looking at everything. I looked at sickness different than I did before. Yeah. Every time I started feeling anything, it was, oh, here it comes. I'm going to get sick again. That's for sure. You know, like every year these snowbirds come down and they infect me with something and I get sick and every year they do it. But my mouth had a change and my mindset had, hey, they're coming down. I don't care if they're bringing sickness with them. I don't know if they do or they don't, but I'm not going to have any of that because I have been redeemed from the curse of the law because I entered a new kingdom, which is the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. And in there I can live free and redeemed.
Amen. And you know, it's also being accountable. Like, we have to be responsible for our own walk with God, our own pr- practice in life. Like, so I had to learn what the kingdom morals were, what the values of God was, and all these things. And he tells us, in like you were saying, Galatians, there's so many scriptures that teach us how, what his will is, and what his being. It starts out, this is the way I received it. I came into the kingdom as a citizen, dual citizenship, right? We talk about that too. And then I had to come in as a baby. Okay, so whose baby am I? I'm God's baby. So mm-hmm. then I become a child of God. Yes. And then I become a son of God, you know, like a daughter of God, a grown up. But it's a process. I had to come in as a citizen and say, wait a minute, there's another territory that I can't see, the unseen, the heavenly realm. There's two territories. There's the natural realm, the world realm, and the heavenly realm. And we have, when we enter in, being born again, we have access to the heavenly realm. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Access to the heavenly realm. That means all my needs and my and anything that God, he says, why do you worry? All these things, because if I have a need and it's his plan and purpose for that need to be met, he's going to fulfill it because it's his plan and purpose. That's why I have to line up with daddy, what daddy wants. It's like the same thing in my house. If my kids weren't honoring and respecting and living according to the rules of my house or the moral values or those things, then they weren't gonna, their life wasn't gonna be as easy, basically, I'll say, because yeah. they were gonna struggle. And not only because I was holding it, because I'm not holding it back, it's just that they're not partaking in it. Because they, you know, if I have a refrigerator full of food, if they choose not to open the door and go in, then they can starve. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. And then, of course, we wind up blaming God, but that's because we don't want to be accountable and spend the time that it takes to get to know him. I was always on other people's laurels, other people's beliefs. I rode the wave with other people. And that's what happens when, and then you get stuck with the herd, basically. And you're doing what everybody else does, and then you're blaming. So...
If you don't know this stuff, I mean, that's the way you're living right now. If you don't know that you've entered a kingdom and basically you're under any other government than you were before, and you've been delivered and redeemed from the old way that you were working under the kingdom of darkness. And like Luann mentioned earlier, the kingdom of darkness is one thing. It's simply ignorance. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ignorant people out there who've been born again, and ignorance can easily be solved. It comes through the light or the revelation or the knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Eliminates your ignorance. So as you spend time in the Word of God, you're going to discover that you have been redeemed, and you're going to start living redeemed. So when I saw I was redeemed, I said, that's it. I'm going to live like I'm redeemed. Mm-hmm. And then I got to a verse in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once, talking about Jesus, into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. And I said, wow, because up until that time, I knew I was redeemed until the symptom came. I knew I was redeemed until I had a chance to get mad. I knew I was redeemed until I had a chance to worry. And when worry came, then once I lost my redemption, yeah. because I didn't know I could stand against that redemption, right. and I didn't have to do that stuff. So when I got to this verse, it says I'm eternally redeemed. So that means when I'm feeling good, I'm redeemed. And when I'm not feeling good, I still have an eternal redemption. Mm-hmm. When somebody screams and hollers and there's a chance for me to get upset and go into unforgiveness, mm-hmm. yeah, I still got an eternal redemption from that. But I have to make the decision to live that way, because if you go by what's around you and the natural realm, you're going to be up. And yeah, down right. and up. I call them roller coaster Christians, you know, hanging on for dear life as they're going across the roller coaster. And that's the way most people live.
Right. And that's the scripture being tossed to and fro, because you're not stable in all your ways. You a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, the other thing is we get like that. And you're talking about it, the inner peace and the joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Ghost. Yeah, yes.
Amen. So, and those are important things, because those are decrees. Those are like in our country here in America, we have rules, we have values, we have cultural, you know, standards, and the same thing in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the more you get familiar, the easier it is to make choices. I mean, that's what my life is like today, too. It's easier when I'm confronted with something. He says, you know, there's going to be trials and tribulations in
yes.
the world.
Yep.
You know, it's the world. I can't control other people, but I can control my response. I can control my thought process, because he says, take captive that thought if it doesn't line up with his will. But the only way I'm going to know that is if I know him. I know his will. So that's why it's important that we read these scriptures. And in Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he's, so why do we worry about all these things? Because those are basic supplies. And he says, if we seek him, he will supply first his right. And not only seek him, but his way of doing it, his righteousness. What does it look like in the kingdom? What does the king say about this? And he will supply your needs. You know, because when we worry or we have unforgiveness, we're going against, we're rebelling. And that's the way I was my whole life. You know, and sometimes it wants to creep up or it wants to tempt me, test me. But I have the ability today to take captive or bring it to the obedience of Christ. What is he? What does the word say about this, this situation?
Many times we have places, areas we're struggling in, and people want delivered of things that are uncomfortable, like fear, anxiety. But then there's those little sins that are enjoyable. They want to keep that, as, and this would be like trying to keep rats out of your house, but you got this little opening. Oh, that opening's fine. They're all coming in that opening. You know, it's like, why am I still struggling with fear? Well, it's walking in this whole book here, you know, walking as a son. And as we grow in this, you know, and you learn a lot when you just study where your thought process is during the week and really watch how you're thinking, why you're getting over in those areas that are causing anxiety, because most fear is 90% of it or more than that probably never happens,
right.
But it just, you live your life thinking about it, not even realizing it until you start paying attention to where you're thinking. So I don't know, that was just coming to me.
Amen. We didn't get that. That's not a spirit. We weren't created with fear.
Amen.
So that's something that when it happens, that's why it's so uncomfortable, because we're not created to have that. We're not created to have worry. But those are the regulators. If they are happening, if you find yourself, you know, thinking about something or fearing something or something, that's a sign. If, you know, God is beautiful. He designed it so that the curse is out of love, not out of punishment. It's so that we know that we're not where we need to be with him, in right standing with him in certain areas of our life. Doesn't mean we, like Pastor's saying, we have the ability. It's already been provided. So if I choose to look the other way or do something different, I'm not gonna receive the benefits of doing it the way the kingdom, the way it is in the kingdom of heaven, the way it is in the Word of God. So,
and there's a lot of people who basically believe that sin, like sin, still has dominion over you. Well, if you believe that, then you're going to be a sinner. That's just the way there is. But the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. So if I'm in a position in the kingdom of God where now I've been redeemed from that stuff, it's up to me to take authority over that sin. Not just sin, repent. Pray for me, James. Pray for me, Luann. Please pray for me. No, you've got to make a decision. You got a free will.
Amen.
And most of the time, it's your identity that's your problem, not your flesh or your sin problem. Because who you think you are, that's who you're going to be this earth realm. So that's why the Bible, another thing, says when you got born in the kingdom of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, and all things now are of God. So when you understand that you're not the miserable person, that if nobody tells you this, you're going to get born again, you're going to heaven, and you're going to still think you're the same rotten person you were before. But you're not still the same rotten person you were before. You had a miracle. Everybody's looking for a miracle. Just look in the Bible and you'll see one, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you were created into a brand new creation at that time. And this new creation is godly. It's godlike. You're back in the image and likeness of God. You've been transformed back into Adam and Eve when they were first created to begin with. So you got to start seeing yourself differently than you saw yourself before, because you're this new creation. Well, how am I going to see myself? Well, that's why the Word of God is here, to show you what he did for you, to show you. If you continue on in 2 Corinthians 5:17, verse 21 says, for he has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So I go to a prayer meeting and everybody's saying, oh, Lord, make us righteous. Help us to be righteous. Please make us righteous. We're begging you for righteous. Well, he's already made you in right standing with God the day you entered the kingdom of God, and you're spending all your time trying to get there, which you couldn't get there by yourself anyway. It took the blood of Jesus to do it.
Amen. Amen. Yep. And same also, with, I'm sorry, James.
No, it's okay. No. Just same with most things, just like even fear we're talking about. Lord, help me fear, please. Mm-hmm. You know, no, fear you will not have dominion over. Amen. Get off me in the name of Jesus. Lust, get off me in Jesus' name, whatever you're battling. Yep.
That's right.
Talk as a son that has authority. If you were running your dad's factory, you wouldn't go in there, please don't make that part that way. Please try doing it the way dad said. You know, you'd be like, you better make that fender right where it fits the car. You're going down the road.
Exactly. And that's that is right there what you're saying, because his will and testament, the Bible, the Holy Bible, right, is the directions. So if we leave out a screw in something, if we're not reading the directions, we leave out a screw, it's not going to operate properly. And that's why we need to be in the Word daily. You were talking about we are what we believe. We are what we eat. Mm-hmm. And God says, Jesus, if his flesh, and that's the Word of God. And if we're eating daily, then he will be able to renew our minds, and we start to have a transformation in the way we address things in our life. That's what it's about. It's about changing from the old way of dealing with life on life's terms to dealing with life on my terms, you know, like mm-hmm. on the Word terms, the way the Word tells me it should be. Because we do have dominion over the world, not people, but everything, even the weather, everything. We can speak to things. God gave us his Word to speak it out. And it's his authority that we're using, we're standing in and standing under and standing on when we speak his Word. He gave us that mandate, that ministry to be able to speak, and the power to be able to, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be able to endure, to be able to have patience, all the virtues of God, the character of God inside of us.
Authority, yes.
Yeah, the authority, the power and authority.
There's some people that are men in power. The authority is what's really lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody wants God to do it. That's why, because God's in control of everything. But the Bible says you resist the devil.
That's right.
And everybody's waiting for the big D to show up. But we're talking about the things of the big D. We're talking about fear. We're talking about all this stuff. Everybody's waiting for this devil to show up. No, every time you get angry, that is the devil into your life. Well, every time fear comes, that is the devil. Well, we're supposed to resist that. And it will flee according to God, not ask God to do it, because God's not going to do it because he put us in charge.
He gave us everything to be able to do it, the Holy Spirit. Then everything Jesus did for us wouldn't be. So, and in Acts 26, 18, it says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, because we were talking about that, and inherit among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Inherit the kingdom of God. We get everything. It's like we're his children. We inherited the whole everything in the kingdom. Healing, all of it. Prosperity, the supply. You know, one of the things that we receive, one of the benefits is that we receive provision from him. We don't have to. Why do you worry? I mean, there, and don't get me wrong, like the other night, something came on me in the middle of the night, and there was nothing. And my answer there, years ago, I would have been like up all night waiting for 9 o'clock so I can make the phone call. My answer was, well, there's nothing. Thank you for reminding me about that, Holy Spirit. In the morning, I'll take care of it. And I went back to bed. There would have been a time I would have been like, wait, I got to make sure I do this. I got to call this person. I got to make sure they know not to do that, you know? And it's so simple. He provided peace for me, because that's what I have, so that I can sleep. And I had to tap into the peace, because it was already there. And that's what the well is about. When Jesus was at the well, it's never ending. There's more supply and more. He has more than the world can give me. And everybody listening, for everybody.
And we're also taught that basically our inheritance didn't come till we got to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then by the time I die and go to heaven, I don't really need anything I got to inherit anymore, because I'm already in heaven. So nobody told me that it was when I entered the kingdom of God and when Jesus died that my inheritance was not when I died, but when he died. So that means here on earth, you have a mighty inheritance basically in the kingdom of God, and you don't understand it because you're waiting for heaven, and you can wait for heaven all you want, and then things will definitely be good when you get there. But right now, you need everything that God and Jesus gave you to fulfill your work of extending his kingdom here in the earth realm. And if you don't know about his kingdom, it's going to be very hard to explain it to other people. It's going to be hard to live in that kingdom. It's going to be hard to be part of that kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, for years, Romans chapter 5, it says, God shows his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, yes, Christ died for us. But much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Well, nobody told me that when I got born again because I was still the worst sinner.
Uh-huh.
I was a worse sinner saved by grace. And I was doing my best not to be a worse sinner. Mm-hmm. I was going to be justified. So I tried not to worse sin as much as I could, but I kept worse sinning even more. The more I tried to worse sin, the more I worse sinned. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And then once I found out that he already took Amen. Care of that, and now I had been justified just as if I'd never sinned, not by my performance, but by his blood
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
So I was justified not when I go to heaven finally, but the day that I entered in, accepted what Jesus did by his blood, I was justified. So I had to change my thinking again. Well, I'm not a sinner. And then you've been hanging around with people who go to the same place you do, and they all believe they're sinners. You start claiming to be justified, and you're going to find out basically what it is to be persecuted.
Yeah. And that's scriptural.
It's scriptural. It's scriptural. Yeah, everybody's going to say, you're just prideful. You just don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're probably the worst sinner in the whole place. But right. It's not that way. We're just believing what God and basically what Jesus did for us, which Amen. Was so marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you see how much he did for each and every one of us, which means how much he loves each and every one of us. So I had to see myself as someone who was righteous and justified
Praise
and
God.
A new creation in Christ Jesus. And I always tell the story when that happened. Basically, I was just about to turn 30 years old, and I was a new creation. And I told God that this is hard thinking to be mm-hmm. somebody different mm-hmm. than I've been for 30 years. And that's when God told me to grow a mustache.
That's a good one.
So I grew a mustache, and half the mustache came in, the other half didn't come in so well. So as I was running around, people would make fun of my mustache all the time. Well, all that was doing was telling me that I was not who I used to be,
Amen.
But I was a new creation. They don't understand it. They thought they were making fun of me, but they were actually helping me believe uh-huh. who I was as a new creation.
Reminding
you. Yeah, reminded me. Every time they made fun of me, I said, thank God, I'm yes. a new creation. I'm glad my mustache didn't come in right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, and you start to believe you're a new creation. Then you start to believe the word of God, which mm-hmm. tells you you have authority. You'll start resisting the devil, and guess what? He will flee if you do it, but if you don't, it won't work. But I'd rather have James resist the devil
yeah.
for me because he always listens to James.
Yeah.
Well, James is just as born again as you are. He didn't get
Amen.
born again. He just got born again, so he got the same thing. The only difference is he's doing what the Bible tells him to do, and he believes he is who the Bible says he is, and he gets mm-hmm. more results than a lot of people get.
Amen.
Yeah, I just had about 9 months ago, maybe— Someone invited me out. He's teaching a Bible study. They're Baptist, and I prayed. So the next week they brought some more. The next week they had a pretty lot in the room, and I prayed for the first one. God healed his 3 years arthritis elbow. So then he said, "Pray for his eyes." I rebuked the blind spirit. Man, his eyes would be healed, and he could read this real fine print. So then this other person says, "Pray for my eyes." I said, "No, you pray for his eyes."
Amen.
And then he asked Jesus to take the blind spirit. I'm going, Lord, I know that don't normally work, but you heal the other guy of a bunch of stuff I didn't even pray for last week. Maybe you'll just do it. You're showing up. And then he begged God to heal him for too long. And nothing happened. And I was like, good, now I can teach him. I said, look, you can't ask Jesus to take the demons. Jesus is the right hand of the Father. He gave us authority over him. You just got to command him to leave. And I said, in long prayers, 38 years, I've never seen a long prayer work yet. And I've let a lot of people pray. I said, keep it simple. Keep it mm-hmm. short. The simpler, the more results. I said, just repeat after me. Look in his eyes. Blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. The guy could read. And then this lady says, pray for my eyes. And I got another lady to pray for hers. And from that point on, I was over there about 6 months. I just helped them pray for each other. So then I pray for this lady's leg grew out. And she goes to Methodist church. So they're all excited. They've never seen a miracle. So they asked me to come. Same thing. I got them to all to pray. See, they can do it. I didn't even pray for any of them. But then we did a meeting. It's like 76 people in a healing meeting. And I wanted to just move around. I said, I'm not going to pray for anybody. I'm going to help them. I'm teaching them. And, but then there's a whole long line. And they're like, no, these people want you to pray. I'm like, you're ruining it. So now these other ones are going up, these other people. I don't know if they're getting healed or not. So I run over there and lady broke her band on her tendons and her thumb. It wouldn't lift up. It would just hang down. And I walked over, and the guy's begging God to heal him. I'm like, oh, great. I wait till he gets done. Nothing happens. I was like, look, I told you. Jesus already did it. Don't beg him to do it. I said, keep it simple. Quick. I said, give me your hand. I said, band grow back. Pretend it's going place. Thumb work in Jesus' name. I let go and her thumb was working. She's like, oh, my God. So it's like they can do everything I can do, just like you said. And it's just when you learn that for others, well, it works for you. When you take authority over the enemy attacking you, instead of begging God to remove them, you'll see results.
Amen. And that's part of knowing your identity in Christ, knowing your position that God put you in. When Jesus died for us, he put us in, right back in the presence of God, right back in the, in, I'll say, the Garden of Eden, where we were created to be with God, right? And to fulfill and be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth. And if you don't believe that, that's the first struggle. You have to believe that you are a creation of God, that you are in a royal family and with privileges. It's a privilege to be in the royal family. You have rights that you need to, that's why he says, as it is in heaven. He's trying to pollinate, as it is in heaven here on earth, the earth with heavenly beliefs, heavenly values, heavenly culture. It's that's why we're created, because he wanted to expand his territory here on earth, right?
Yeah, and there's two people trying to expand their...
Yeah, their, that's right.
The, ones, the enemy, and unfortunately, the enemy was operating during the first, for me, 30 years of my life. I'm about the same age. Mm-hmm. And so then converting over to the other side, you know, it's like starting a new job, doing a totally different thing. It's like changing your way of thinking. It's just... Mm-hmm. It's so it's easy for the enemy to get us where we've been in his yard for the last 30 years. But if you, that's where reading the word and just reading the word and reading the word and letting it change our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And acting on the word, too. Whatever the word tells you, you want to be that. You want to believe that. Mm-hmm. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you are to put off the Amen. Old man, and that's who you were before you got born again. You didn't remain the same person, and once God gets his big towel out and a big water bucket and washes your sin off of you and you stay the same. That's not what you are. You're not the same person. You're what they call the old man.
Amen.
And basically at that time, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. So he tells you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not your body. It's not your flesh. It's your thinking that gets you into trouble mm-hmm. because you think the wrong way because basically your thoughts are not God's thoughts.
That's
and
right.
your thoughts aren't God's thoughts because they're not the word thoughts. But then he tells you to put on the new man. Now that's you after you entered the kingdom of God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It doesn't say you were put there to become righteous and
right.
holy. It says you were created that way. So God created Adam and Eve that way, and then they fell, and now when you got born again, you were restored back to that place.
Amen.
And you were recreated, if you want to put it that way, and now you're created in right standing with God. So you don't have to fight to get in right standing with God. You have to battle to stay in right standing mm-hmm. with God. And that's why the Bible tells you the devil doesn't come to really to put stuff on you. He comes to steal. What's he stealing? Everything you got when you entered the kingdom
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah.
He wants to steal your righteousness. He wants to steal your justification. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. But the best part is if he's coming to steal it, he can only steal it from somebody who actually has it.
That's right.
So you had all these things when you got born again, whether it was yesterday, 2 years ago, 30 years ago. You might not be aware of what took place when you entered the kingdom of God, but all these things are still available to you. Just because you left them on the shelf and didn't know about them for 30
right.
years don't mean you say, well, I didn't know about it. No, now's the time, mm-hmm. no matter what age you are, because you can start walking in victory and be an example of the kingdom of God for
Amen.
Other people who are out there in the kingdom of darkness and bring them in and extend God's kingdom.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So I just want to read 2 Corinthians 3:18 since we're talking about that. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's the same thing. So the more we grow spiritually in our faith, right, the more we grow, the more we believe, the more we eat the Word, the more we be the Word here on earth in our life, in our daily routines of life. It's that simple. We don't need to go out and change the world. We need to change our space first. And then the people around us start to respond differently. because we're responding differently. Maybe, you know, instead of getting offended, we can pray for another person and then their life, you know, because a prayer of a righteous man avails much, right? So then there's something, they get blessed in a way, and then they're looking and saying, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me. And they get, and what it draws them into God. That's what we want to do. We want to be people where people look at us and say, I want what that person has. I want to be able to be calm in this situation. I want to be able to know, you know, how do I get patience? How do I get tolerant? How do I forgive? You know, and if we're not powers of example of Jesus Christ here on earth, it's his image. He didn't walk around bitter, angry, worried, you know, and he's our example. If we can just read and you know, the four gospels talk all about Jesus. He talks to us in there also so that we get to know him, and the way he is the way we are. It's the same spirit that's in him is in us, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and everybody says, well, that was Jesus. Well, yeah, it was Jesus, but he ran into the same stupid stuff that we ran into. It's not like he was living in a bubble someplace around here and operated in that. Uh-huh. And in Colossians, it tells you this will make people mad. Colossians 1, verse 21, and you that were sometime. Notice how many times in the Bible it tells you, like, you're a past and then what's going on right now.
Right.
But people want to live in the past. Mm. They don't want to read the second half.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They'll quote that, but then it says, but have been justified by his blood in the next verse. And we don't want to go there for some reason. So it says, you were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now, talking about now, he basically, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you to him holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, that'll scare most people right there if they go around saying, how you doing today? Well, I'm holy. I'm unblameable. I'm unreprovable in his sight. Well, you better start looking for a new church, because you're not going to be in that much longer. I'll tell you what, you're going to be thrown out of there, man. You better start your own, because it's just going to be you. Yeah, people would freak out because they've never been taught that.
Right.
They're still in the verse before where I'm unholy. Please make me blameless. Mm-hmm. Please make me holy. Mm-hmm. Please make me righteous. They got the prayer list, and you're praying for things that the blood of Jesus already took care of, thank God. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much that he took care of all that stuff. If he just would have basically took care of our soul at the same time so that we thought right, we'd be perfect right now, but he didn't do that. So that's something we work on. We take the word of God and we start thinking in line. So I'm holy and I'm unblameable. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. These are things that people are afraid to even confess, believe that you are. But that's who you are. And you start walking even closer to God. It's hard to have a closeness with God when you believe you're a sinner.
Right.
Because, number one, two can't walk together unless they be agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying you're righteous. You're saying you're a sinner. You're saying you're terrible. He's wonderful. I'm so unworthy. Just nothing. And he's everything. Well, it's hard to have a relationship with him like that. It's a lot easier when you agree with what he told you and who he told you he is. Mm-hmm. Then you can have a better and closer relationship with him because it's everything he provided. And people say, well, I wish God would do that for me. Well, he did that for you.
Yes,
he did it for everybody. We were all born into the same kingdom of God. The only problem was the church has basically lost the message of the kingdom of God and made it a message of the kingdom of heaven. Basically, everything's going to be good when we get to heaven. When we die and go to heaven, it's going to be great. Do you know what you could do if you could just bottle peace?
Oh.
If you could just sell joy in these little bottles and everybody opens it up, would get instant peace and start laughing uncontrollably in the spirit? Oh. My gosh, we'd be millionaires by now. Gosh. No question about it.
So when you were talking about the soul, I felt like maybe somebody's saying, yeah, but what does that mean? Why didn't God restore our soul, like, you know, change it? Like he did in our spirit, make it new.
We and refer that's to mind, will, and emotions with soul, just so.
That's what I'm going.
Yeah,
I'm getting
I know.
There.
I just,
yeah. So because of that, because it is our will, he can't control our will, and it has to be a choice.
You'd
and
be a
that's
robot.
What your soul is.
Yeah.
It's your will. It's your true self, you know? And so it's as you yourself, right? And we're in the way of ourselves. So God wants us in himself. So the more I know about him, I cannot be so self-centered, right? And I can choose his will because his will's best for me. And it's mind, will, emotions, thought, imagination. That's what the soul, that's the part of your soul. That's who you are in your soul. And God can't, he doesn't control that. Then he'd be a forceful to God. And he's not a controller. He's not in control.
Right.
He's not.
And Jesus even said, if you love me,
sovereignly,
you'll obey me.
Amen.
So what's he doing? He's giving you a chance to love him.
That's right.
But it's up to you because you don't have to obey him. Mm-mm. And if you don't want to obey him and people don't obey him, then they say, I love the Lord. Well, no, you don't. You don't love the Lord. If you did, you'd be in obeying him
that's
like
right.
the word of God
liar.
Says. Yeah. You're basically saying, I am a liar.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And that's why when you know the word and then he tells you this, he tells you you'll know the fruit. You'll know a man by his fruit, what comes out of his mouth, his behaviors. And it's not to use it against another person. It's actually so that we can be helpful to God. He reveals this to us about another person so that we can be of love and service mm-hmm. to him. It's not so that we can, I got to build up boundaries and I got to isolate myself. No, he wants us to be interacting with people because he loves people, even the worst of us. He loves us. He loves us even when we're... Even if we don't choose him, he loves us. Mm-hmm. You know.
And our calling is to extend the kingdom.
Yes.
So you meant if you're going to be a monk, you're not going to extend his kingdom except to the walls in your Monksville or wherever. So, yeah, you're out there amongst people, and you got an opportunity to witness to people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much to get a conversation going. You know, whenever I wear my No More Bad Days T-shirt, always strikes up a conversation. Mm-hmm. I got one that says kingdom, and everybody asks me about that. And it doesn't really take much to get anybody talking about something, and you know they'll see your shirt and said, "Well, I wish I wouldn't have any more bad days." Well, they just got in trouble because they opened the door, and now they're going to get it. You know, they're going to say, "Why are you having it?" And you can just see, I love the way Jesus handles everything because he handles everything from a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
You know, just his statement of, "Why do you worry?"
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can understand that in this world. They're saying, "What kind of stupid question is that?"
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what I got to worry about: car payment, kids, dog, everything else. And we've got to get our minds to a place to where we understand how great it is to enter the kingdom of God. And it makes it good for right now because people right now want help. They're not interested in going to heaven 30 years from now after they live in hell down here. They want to live in victory right here, right now. And the kingdom of God gives us everything. It even gives us power.
Yes.
The Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. You ask people, do you have the Holy Ghost? Yes, amen. Do you have power? No, God has all the power. Well, then that scripture, you might as well tear it out of the Bible and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have the Holy Ghost, you have supernatural power in your life to live above the circumstances and above the situations. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Taking us back to Genesis chapter 1, where we're created again in the image and likeness of God with dominion on this earth realm that God wants his children to rule and reign on at this time.
Amen. And dominion, power, and victory. Christ's victory is what we walk in, right? And in 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means we have power over the enemy. We have the power and the authority, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a promise. That's a benefit.
That's the truth.
That's the truth, right? So.
And as you read the Bible, you're growing these things. You'll see different things in there that you read before, and you just didn't really understand that it meant you. You know,
that's
sometimes
right.
you can read the Bible and says, well, that's sure, that's the head pastor guy. He sure gets all that stuff, but I don't get nothing. And no, it's for everybody. Everybody's on the same plane and the same area, basically, when you get born in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen just as much as we are citizens.
That's right.
You're a son and daughter just as much as we are sons and daughters. And the Bible says that at one time we were aliens.
Mm-hmm.
We were of God's. We were foreigners from
that's
the kingdom
right.
of God. We were, but not now. It has changed. We're now citizens and we're sons. And as citizens, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States. What did I do to become a citizen? Got born.
Amen.
I didn't do anything
Amen.
But get born. So now the kingdom of God, everybody wants to go to church 14 times and somebody wants to yell and scream 13 times. And no, just get born again.
Amen.
And you get born into the kingdom of God spiritually. And then all these things are added unto you in your life, but you have to activate them.
That's right.
You know, they're there, but you just can't wait for God to do all this stuff. No, he's telling you what you've got and you've got to make use of it and put it to work in your life.
Amen. Amen. It's true. And the victory is 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another benefit. So these are important things. And the more we know, highlight the Bible. If you're interested in knowing the benefits as you read, even if you start at Matthew, just write anything that stands out that tells you a promise is a benefit. You know, a decree, because the Bible is a legal document. You know, it's a government we're talking about.
Last will and testament,
the last
Jesus
will and
Christ.
Legal, yeah. And the enemy is a legalist. And if you're not living according to the way God planned us and purposed us to live, then he has legal right to come in and tempt you with worry and fear and bitterness and resentment. And these are things that really will eventually eat at your body. And then you manifest. We manifest these things. And not only manifest it, our voice change. I mean, there's things that occur. You rotting, rottenness of the bone, rotting of the bones. I mean, there's things that happen if you continue to serve the enemy. You know, it's up to you. And you could still be saved. That's the thing. Sure. You're saved, but you're serving the wrong God. And that's what God's trying. That's what Jesus came. The kingdom of heaven is here right now. There's no reason to live life in misery or in lack, because and then wait till you die to get everything, because it's for now. He came here for us for today. Right now, you can change everything around.
You I mean, get there quicker.
Amen. Yeah, right here. Kingdom.
They might get there quicker.
Oh, yeah.
If you are going to heaven.
Yeah, and then that's and what do you say? The worst thing is not living to your potential, right? Is that how do you say that? The biggest regret is not living up to what you, if you die and you find out that you could have had all this here, it's like wasting time just to die. That would be the saddest part of, I mean, for me, every minute counts. How can I be of service to the Lord?
And the greatest failure in your life right now is basically living here without a purpose.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, if you're just here for no reason at all, you don't know why you're here, you're just gone through life, what am I supposed to do? Go to work, come home, cash my check, eat supper, take a nap, watch TV, go to bed, get up, do it again. But there's a bigger purpose for you in the spirit realm, and God didn't put you here just to go through that everyday monotony. He has a plan and a purpose, and his plan and purpose includes you. That's why you're here right now in this time. You wouldn't be here in 2026 if God didn't need you right now.
That's right.
But he knew that he would need you, and the Bible says that he created you before the foundations of the world, which
Hallelujah.
Is can't wrap around your head very good. But he put you in your mother's womb, and you were picked out, and you're here right now for a plan and for a purpose. And that purpose is to take advantage of the kingdom of God that you were born into and bring those around you into that kingdom. The more you start living in victory, and even with your relation, the more peace you show, the more joy you show, the more power you show, your relation is going to start to wonder even what the heck's the matter
That's
with you,
right.
And people start to gravitate for you because everybody wants to live in peace and joy and righteousness and under a good government. And we have a good government in the spirit, pretty good one now in the natural, but we even have a better one in the spirit realm.
Amen.
And that's because we're under God, and God wants to meet your needs. He wants to take care of you. He wants to bless you with every spiritual blessing, but he cannot do that if you're not remaining in right standing. And I'm not even talking about sin now. I'm just thinking about white thinking.
Right.
Because a lot of times it isn't we're out there doing sin. We're just thinking stupid compared to the way God thinks. And we're begging God for things and pleading. But let me tell you, God, the Bible says that God desires to give you the entire kingdom. Well, if he wants to give it to me, I want to please him because I want the whole dang thing before I'm done here. I want to figure out everything that belongs to me.
Yes.
I want to operate in the authority. I want to operate in the power. I want to walk in divine health. I want to get as many people into the kingdom of God as I can. And when my time up, then I said the other day, either Wednesday or Sunday when I was preaching, when I die, I want to don't even know that I die. I just want to go from one realm to the other. I'm already in that place in the kingdom to where I said, am I dead? Am I still? No, and just transfer over because it's available to us.
Amen. It's so true. Yeah. So it is, it's turning from the rebellious way of thinking, turning from the worldly way of thinking. That's what being born again is. That's what experiencing the benefits of the kingdom is like. It's agreement with God's decrees, with his will, his word. So I'm going to just stress it more and more that people should just get into the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. You might, you know, no one that I knew read the Bible in my life that I can, you know, refer to when I first got born again. I just had, when it happened, I had a curiosity. I started to seek.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all a tick. And then God made a way to want more. And he changed the desires of my heart as I was reading. It had nothing to do with, oh, now I got to do this. It's just I had a hunger to know because I didn't know what was going on with me. You know, I was born again, and then I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? So if you just let him have a second, 5 minutes in the morning or during the day, he will grow that in you.
Or get under the word. I mean, you can go to mytcvc.com.
Amen,
all our
yes.
sermons are on there, Wednesdays and Sundays.
Yep.
And it talks about the kingdom of God. It talks about what God has already did for you and provided for
That's
you.
Right.
And then in Galatians chapter 5, once you find out what he's given to you and what he's provided, it tells you to stand fast, therefore, in the freedom deliverance wherewith Christ has made you free. Notice, he has made you free
That's
already.
Right.
Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So even when you discover that he healed you and that he made you righteous and that he blessed you, you have to stand fast in what he's provided for
mm-hmm.
you once you get the revelation. Why is that? Because there's a thief out there.
Hmm.
And that thief wants to steal everything from you. He wants you full of fear, full of doubt, full of unbelief, full of worry,
That's
everything
right.
else to affect your physical body, to make you sick, to fall apart in every area of your life. But you've got to come to a place where you know that you're the boss.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're the boss.
That's
and, you know, yeah, like old commercials, of course, too old for most people. Lucky Strike commercials in the old day.
Yeah.
I'd rather fight than switch. Sometimes when I get tempted, I don't want to switch out of kingdoms. I'd rather fight than switch.
Uh-huh.
I'm staying in the kingdom of God in
Amen.
Which I'm in. And you put up a fight for it. I mean,
Amen.
You do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah.
Yes. Do you want to add anything, James?
I'm good.
Okay, because I'm going to give it to Pastor to finish up and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about.
Okay, so you probably heard some things maybe today that you never heard before, and that's all right. It's always good to learn new things, but just understand that it was more than just getting saved,
that's
quote,
right.
and going to heaven. That's a good part of it. I mean, going to heaven is definitely important. We're not saying that it's not. But Jesus never taught that. He taught when you got born again, you came into something called the kingdom of God,
oh.
and you're under the king himself, but you also are a king according to the Bible. He has made you a king and a priest unto him
mm-hmm.
for a job to do here in the earth realm. And in order to do that job as a king, you're going to have to find out what you've got as your weapons out of the Bible and who you are. So study the words of Jesus, the red words of Jesus, what
Amen.
Jesus had to say about kingdoms, because if anybody knew about the kingdom of God, it was definitely Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pray for you right now. First of all, if you have any problems in your body, if you've had problems or anything, just put your hand on there right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I set you free right now because you've already been set free. Line up with the kingdom of God, head, body, shoulder, everything in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I release your Holy Spirit now into the hearts and lives of your people. I thank you for the anointing in their lives, that they would get a hunger for the Word of God, first
That's
of all,
right.
that they would go after it, they would find out all the marvelous things that you did for each and every one of us here, that they would receive them and start to walk in them in their daily life. Father, I thank you that they would become lights for their family, for their community, and everything else. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus'
amen.
Jesus' name, shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Down on me from the top of my head to my feet. Pour your oil on me, let it fall down on me. I want your glory, want your glory. I want your glory, I want your glory. Here's my heart and here's my soul. Consume me.